Nice to see everyone tonight. I had an interesting experience on the way over here tonight. I just caught the tail end on NPR, the normal business show that starts at 6 o'clock. The interviewer was talking to someone apparently he had talked to before. And you know, lots of times when you listen to these reports, they're a report, they're scripted, and it's kind of business as usual. Everybody puts on their best mask and they do their thing, promote their business or whatever it is they're there to do. In other words, they're doing what in Zen we call here making. They're making something out of it. So Zen for me is intimacy, total intimacy, non-karmic intimacy. Not the kind of intimacy that you pick up at the bar, but the kind of intimacy that touches reality. So all of a sudden, the interviewer says to her, "You sound like you're either really scared or really tired." And you could hear her breaking up on the other end and saying, I'm sorry, excuse me. I am very tired and weary." And he said, "You know, don't apologize. It's fine. You know, just." And as they went on a little bit, there was a segment where she expressed that she had lost her husband to COVID a while ago. So it wasn't really about that, but it was about that, right? So at the end, they had a very nice exchange, and then they were saying goodbye, and she again tried to apologize. And he said to her, no, just be you. I couldn't think of a better example of Zen than that exchange and moment between those two people on the radio. It was really kind of profound for me because it was so intimate and so Zen. Really paying attention. He was really hearing her and listening. A bit unusual for most radio interviews. So thought I'd share that. And it made me think about, you know, just the qualification that I put on what our practice is, that it really is about intimacy. It's not about getting away from, you know, all of it, the thinking, the pain in the neck, the sorrows, the grief, the anger, all of it. It's not about getting away from it. It's about totally embracing it so you can let it go. You know, I haven't said it in a while, but a long time ago, I used to say all the time, Zen's practice saved my life. And it's true. What I learned by sitting with myself about everything else saved my life, my relationship with my life, and all of life changed as I changed by my constantly becoming aware of how it is I'm creating karma or making life be something other than it is. When you have the opportunity, because life is short, right? To have that moment where you can really say, like the song goes, "Hello in there," an old John Prine song. It's like, yeah, hello in there. Well, you know, what else is there? You know, it's Sungan Sunim promoted the saying, how can I help? And when you're addressing another person, to have that attitude, rather than I have something to offer, or I have something to get, or you know, what can I get out of this situation, or how can I make myself look better, or you know, blah, blah, blah. We're fortunate to be here and have this opportunity to grow, become more whole, complete understanding of what life really is. So we have to take advantage of it. And that example of that radio show for me was a perfect example of taking advantage of the moment. How are you all?
I heard the radio show also. I was in the car on my way to pick up Alice, and I listen to that radio show regularly. I love that guy, Kai Rizdahl is his name, and yeah. It's the, like the best business show. And when I heard him say, you be you, also, it was like I almost heard music playing in the car when he said it. Because it was so profound, and you don't expect it on a show like that. And it was so real. It was so real. Most of us could really identify, even if we haven't lost someone very close to us, we can identify with this sense of loss.
Yes.
With that exhaustion, and it feels never ending.
Yeah.
And there was something very comforting about being a witness to that exchange.
Yes.
I'm not sure I understand the Zen and intimacy piece, though. It goes over my head.
Well, that's just the label. Zen is just the label, you know, and it's what we do. You know, we think that there's some place to go and something to do. So we give it a label and we call it Zen, or, you know, mindfulness, or whatever you want to call it. And then you go there and think you're getting something from it, when all you're really doing is exploring being who you are. Mentors and teachers, and there are people like this person on this show who was a mentor, teacher, Zen master in the moment. Wonderful. You know, it helps us to see and reflect on, like you just said, you know, something we can all relate to. So how are you?
Oh, hi. Today, life was feeling very oppressive.
Oh.
It was not an easy day. And I relate very strongly to what you just talked about in terms of intimacy. Because I think when you go through an experience like cancer or other oppressive experiences, there's a real test in terms of intimacy. Because it's kind of painful to be honest, and painful for everybody to express their feelings and emotions. And it's something we're not used to doing.
Yeah.
So I think that experience today in a difficult way, but it's okay. But I appreciate what you said, because I think what you were describing was a deeper level of intimacy that was coming out in a wacky way.
Yeah.
So, I think I mentioned to you and said that my eldest brother died yesterday. First close bereavement since I've been practicing. And honestly, it's a test, but it's also really a revelation also. So we've been through it. It's good. And it's hard and it's difficult to, you know, to take. But there's also, I can see this tremendous strength that we can now tap into. And it's, as you say, it's really... First question is, my own family, of course, they're all here too. So it's, how can I help them? That's where we're at.
I'm sorry for your loss.
But there's great things out of the world. Like I mentioned on Sunday, he was in a very, very distressing illness at the end of it. And so this is great. It's not suffering anymore.
It's liberation. Yeah.
All of these things, you have to look at the whole thing. It's a good thing.
it's difficult because people want to avoid it instead of embracing it. And there's a certain strength that comes from embracing, where avoiding takes a lot of energy. What we're going through right now with the upheaval in everybody's lives and the grief and feeling angry, you know, and pointing the finger at the people who haven't been vaccinated. I think that's a form of avoidance. It's a kind of, you know, stage of grief, that anger. You want to find something to blame for what you're suffering. So you look for some place to put it. When my 16-year-old daughter died, I put it on the doctors, malpractice. I was looking for a lawyer. I was convinced I had done something wrong. This can't be. Can't happen like this.
I wanted to share with you something interesting that my my 4-year-old said the other day, yesterday, actually. It was a good, it was surprising. So I was getting dressed in front of him and he goes, "Mom, you have lines all over your belly." And I said, "Yes, I do. That's from you." And he's like, "From when I was born?" And I said, "Yes, from when you were born." And he goes, "I don't want to be born again." And I said, "You don't." And I said, "Well, you know, thankfully, I think you only have to do it the one time this time." He's like, "No, that's not what happens. You get born over and over and over again." And I was like, "Whoa, I don't think we've ever talked about stuff like that with him." So for him to just like say that,
yes.
And I was like, "Really?" And he goes, "Yeah, I was old once and then I died and then I was born again." And I was like, "Okay, wow. Let's get you to bed now." Because I'm not having this conversation at 8:30 at night, but it was very interesting to hear him say that.
Yes. Lucky you.
Right. That's what I said. I was like, "Wow, look at that. My little 4-year-old just has a deeper understanding without even realizing it."
Yeah.
Maybe he does realize it.
Well, you know, at that age, they're still connected on a level that we lose as we become more involved in this world. When they look for the next Dalai Lama, usually is around that age, I think 3 or 4 years old, that they go out and try to find the rebirth of the Dalai Lama. Maybe that's what you have there, your very own Dalai Lama.
Yeah, it did make me think throughout the day today, like, I wonder what, you know, my own, the cycle, right, of, I don't know, just, it made me think, right, like, what am I recycling? What am I still needing to learn that I still need to be born and wake up to in this life that I haven't yet figured out? So.
Yeah, I avoid getting into it too much because I don't want to make something out of it.
Yeah. Right?
And use my imagination to create something that doesn't exist. Well, on the other hand, I'm very accepting of that proposition. My conversations with Chung-An Sunim, he would often say, "What I'm doing now is preparing myself for this next one." Why not do everything you can to have your next lifetime be even better? So I think on Sunday, I read a koan about the Zen master whose next lifetime was a cow. That's a beautiful thing that your son shared with you there. It reminds me it wasn't really similar, but it was also a really wise experience with a 4-year-old. She was 3. I had to pass, when I was living at the American Zen College, I had to pass the place on the way into town where my daughter had her accident. Shortly after that, and my whole body would tense up, you know, as I was getting near that area. And I had my daughter, I think maybe I was taking her to the doctor or something. She was in the car seat, in the back seat, 3, 3 and a half. And she says to me, "Dad, Karen's gone. She's not here. Pay attention to your driving." it was so insightful and so clear and so in the moment, so direct, so honest, so real, and out of nowhere, it seemed like. You know, that she was picking up on my energy. I wasn't talking about it. My mind was just all over the place, and she knew it. Zoomed right in there, straightened me right out. That's Sangha for you, family and Sangha. So thank you so much for sitting with me, everybody, tonight. Anything else? Should we carry on? Thank you again.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Good night.